Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, my boy, the voice of the produce industry, Patrick Kelly.
Hey, produce people, welcome to Viva Fresh 2024 in Houston, Texas. I got my man Dante Galazzi sitting next to me. And Dante, it's always a pleasure, man, to sit with you. You know, the other day, someone was like, do you know Dante's background in logistics and supply chain? I was like, I do actually, you know, and it's great to see the amount of leadership that's put in from working in the industry to becoming a leader for the industry. And a lot of times that happens by just putting in the work and not actually saying, I'm going to be a leader for the industry. It just comes, man. People start to follow. They understand the process. And I think that's what you've done here within Texas. I mean, again, I know it's a Texas show.
Right.
But we still hear about you from coast to coast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I think of the scene from Ted Lasso when Ravi takes over the competing soccer team. You know, the reporter gets up and asks him a question and says, are you concerned at all that, you know, just a few years ago, you were the ball boy? He goes, no, I'm not concerned. I started there. I worked my way up through the organization, so I know everything. I'm a little more concerned that you would ask me that question and not understand the importance of the roles I served.
Yes.
Because you're right. I feel, first off, I'm passionate just like you are. I love the opening, but I feel empowered to help this industry because it's the industry that gave to me.
Yes.
And I started it, you know, I started at the lowest levels.
Give me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's true. I mean, I talk about that as well. You know, my dad's been in the industry, and some of the other day they asked me, they're like, hey, I want to talk to you about your story, about how you started the podcast. And I was like, nah, I'm good. And they're like, what do you mean? I go, why don't you ask me why I'm an entrepreneur? Then they said, why are you an entrepreneur? I said, because I don't want to live in my car anymore. And the guy goes, what? And I said, yeah. And he goes, but I thought your dad was in the industry. I said, my dad was. I said, but doesn't mean that we're a silver spoon. And I followed every step of the way. I said, I worked for my dad. I was in a manager and training program. So I've been a forklift driver, right? I've graded oranges. I've done those things. But then my dad and I got to a point where we didn't work together, right? But again, through that education, and I say this to everybody, yeah, my dad taught me good. I left out the bad. But at the end of the day, he brought me up from the bottom. And even I talk about with guys today, they're like, if you weren't there and worked the supply chain within citrus or pineapples, right?
Any commodity.
They said, I don't think your podcast would even be as good as it was because you wouldn't know anything. And we've seen that from some of the media people out there.
Right.
Sorry. It happens.
But no, you're exactly right. It is, our industry is hard, even for the people in the industry. And then you ask someone who has no knowledge of what we do to come in and say, hey.
I was like, a lime's a lime, right?
Yeah. Patrick, can you tell me about this apple, right?
It looks great.
Right. Oh, this looks great. Whereas I can tell you, I can say, oh, you know what? This is probably not an extra fancy. It looks like it's maybe a fancy, probably a choice. It's got some mechanical, you know.
We'll ask Mike Chavez next. We're gonna have him. I know he's got scissors because he might be looking at this going, I don't know if this is a fancy. This might be a little choicy here.
Exactly.
But to a consumer, right, they might not know because all they see is the extra fancy things. So it's different, right? Education and training. I mean, heck, you did it today on the limes, right? Training for limes. Limes is one of the trickiest grades.
It is. 11 different grades.
11.
11. And you know why it's so important, Patrick? Because limes, like a lot of other tropical fruits and vegetables entering the U.S., are growing.
Yes.
20 years ago, our country only consumed about 150 loads of limes a week. How many loads of limes?
Say that five times.
Yeah, exactly.
Loads of limes fast. So 150, 500.
You're pretty close. 750 a week now.
So now 750. Crossing from where?
They're coming from Mexico, Peru, Chile, Brazil. Colombia is a big player
now.
And I suspect that we're just going to see that number go up.
I mean, limes have a good consumption rate, though, too. It's not like they're not being used. And from grade 1 to 11, they're still all good pieces of fruit in there.
That's
they
exactly
just
right.
Look different. That's all it is.
Consumers buy with their eyes. We just have to make sure we give the right eyes the right piece of fruit.
That is the truth. So, Viva Fresh. It's 2024.
Yep.
We're not in Dallas. We're in Houston, which I do love. This is Space City. I mean, I got my Houston Dynamo jersey. I did this for a reason, okay?
Like, I love it.
I made sure that when I was coming to Space City, I was like, gotta have something on.
Hey, I had my Astros jersey on yesterday. Yeah. I'll have it on again Saturday after the Expo's done. But Houston's a beautiful city. There's, you know, I love Dallas. I love San Antonio. I love Austin. I love Texas. And I want to share that love with everybody coming to Viva.
I agree.
That's why we take it around town. That's why we take it all over Texas.
I agree with you there.
Houston is not only Space City. Houston is not only great sports teams. Houston is also the largest and most diverse metroplex in almost all of the United States.
Really?
New York is the only one that beats us.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I had a good time in the city. We walked the city. Last night we got to see this like pop-up art car show where they decorated their cars. We even saw a banana car, so which was amazing. You start to think to yourself,
they brought it out just for us,
right? I'm sitting there going, I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, how does this all work at the same time? But no, it's been great. The city's been great. Again, we've got a lot of good clients here, good clientele. There's a lot of food service business here. There's a lot of processing business here. So again, I think Houston's the right spot, and I love that we're moving around Texas. The same thing with some of the other shows. I love that they move around to different locations because it gives us an aspect to see what's in the retail locations, what's in those stores. You know, I did store tours yesterday, and people always ask me, like, why do you do that? Like, why didn't you play golf? You know, and I said, I've played golf, and I love supporting you. You know, I've sponsored the holes. I've done all that. But I said, to get out with a group of people and be able to see what brands are in the stores, to show the supply chains, because there's some stores that I don't even get to see. I'm like, wait a minute, what is this brand? Like, I saw RCF produce, right? The tropicals.
Yep.
But we don't see that in Florida.
Right.
Right? So it's like, we know we come over here. I'm like, oh, look, there's RCF. Oh, look, there's different supply chains.
And the other thing that's beautiful about that, not just different supply chains, but it's different supply chains for different end users.
Yes.
Because you go to the stores here in Houston, you're gonna see a different mix of products.
Huge mix.
Than you see in Dallas.
Huge mix.
Than you see in Austin.
Yep, I agree.
Quality, color, variation, styles, presentation.
Varieties.
Varieties.
That was one thing at Central Markets.
Yeah.
It's like, I walked in there, I said, you know what Central Markets does to you? It makes you try something new. Because you start to look at the different color radishes. Right, you start to look at the rhubarb, and you say to yourself, what can I use this for at home? And then the same thing with like potatoes. If there's a mix of different potatoes on the line, right?
Yeah.
And you pick up potatoes, your shopping basket will increase by 2 times because now your creative juices get flowing and you're like, wait a minute, I got potatoes. Now I need some onions. Now I'm gonna circle back. What can we do? It brings it all together.
I love that you say that. Literally, last weekend, I was shopping with my kids at HEB because, you know, we're in Texas.
Stop, HEB.
So went by HEB, and they had the strawberries out, and there was, you know, kind of that post Big Rush strawberry sale. Right next to it, they had dragon fruit. And so we pick up the strawberries because it's a staple.
Always.
And my daughter goes, Dad, what's that? Oh, baby, that's a dragon fruit. Sure, I want to try that.
Let's do it.
I said, absolutely. We grabbed it. You know what? They got us. And my daughter loved it. My sons love it. So I guarantee you that's going to be an addition in future baskets.
Listen, and it's trying something new, right?
Yes.
I mean, the same thing, I'm going to give a shout out to Melissa's. So at Central Markets as well. And I should have bought it, and I didn't. They had a $20 pineapple. It was the Elefante from Ghana. And I was sitting there like, in my head, I just like, I want to know what it tastes like. Like, you remember when you tried the pink pineapple for the first time?
Yep.
Or the honey glow? You had a different perspective on pineapples.
Yep.
But I did. I picked it up, and then I put it back because we were only trying to grab a certain amount of things. And Maddie Fisher was like, you would, like, carry around, like, a pineapple knife with you? Like, she was like, how are you going to cut this? And I'm like, yeah.
By the way,
good point.
I'm gonna slide this in there. For those of you that don't know how to do a pineapple without a knife, there's a great TikTok that shows you how to put the pineapple on the table, apply pressure, and you can pull out the mini spears. Check it out, guys.
I should have tried that. We didn't know that, though, yesterday. All right, well, Dante, I appreciate you coming by. I know we've got a lot of stuff coming up, man. So the rest of the day and the rest of the weekend is jam-packed.
Absolutely.
So be involved, get ready, and I would say, what are you most looking forward to after this is done, the execution? What are you looking forward to when this is done come Sunday?
Listen, come Saturday, what I'm looking forward to is once we wrap up the show floor, myself and my team are going to go watch the Astros play against the World Series Rangers. It is going to be a great game. And then after that, probably a week of sleep, but I'm going to be in D.C. working on more issues. And guys, I got to tell you, overall, my excitement is always getting to show off the Tex-Mex region to everybody.
True that,
man. That's what I love.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you out there, man.
You got it.
Welcome back, everyone. Viva Fresh 2024 here in Houston, Texas. That's right, Space City. We just heard from Dante Galazzi. And everyone, Tippa has kicked off Viva Fresh this year. Again, from the Astro Stadium last night for an opening party to Education Today with limes and more. So everyone, welcome to Viva Fresh. I got Mike Chavez of Golden Star Citrus. Always, everyone, no stranger to the show, Mike.
Good to be here, Pat. Of course, great to be in Houston. Love seeing everyone in their soccer jerseys. I will say everyone has hopped on the Patrick Kelly soccer jersey trend. I've seen like 20 jerseys so far. We've only been here for about 24 hours. So you got it going on, man.
Listen,
you got followers.
I'm going to say this. I think there was a lot of closet soccer fans that are now like, oh, thank God. Like, there's more soccer people out here that we can actually relate to. And I try to do jerseys for the, I would say, respective city. So I got a Houston Dynamo jersey. Obviously, I'm an LAFC fan. So are you. Obviously, coming from LA. I said to you the other day, I was like, we're from LA. You're like, no, we're not. I'm like, no, but
you know what I mean.
LA Dodgers, LA Raiders, like LAFC. Like, it just, again, LA Chargers. Like, you know what I mean? It's just we're LA. But, you know, it's funny. You said to me earlier, which is kind of one of those, like, testaments of time. Hey, you remember when we were trying to find duct tape to set up, you know, the first, I think one of the first shows we were at, you know, was West Coast Produce Expo in 21 in Vegas, and we were duct taping literally a paper sign to the back of a booth. And I thought to myself, this looks so awesome, right? And now today, when stuff like this comes in, we're like nitpicking. Oh my God, the graphics aren't right.
The lighting, we literally had a piece of cardboard. And I had that rolled up, printed out from one of my paper vendors, this logo right here. And we got duct tape.
We taped it to cardboard.
Cardboard.
Yeah.
And then we found like those hooks, the little generic sign hooks. So.
Yes, everyone, I will do a podcast out of my car if I have to, which I have before. So it's we make it work, okay? We definitely make it work. So, Mike, one thing I want to talk about, obviously, Viva Fresh. Citrus, obviously, here in Texas, but obviously citrus from California. You put an Instagram post the other day and a LinkedIn post, and it was a bunch of cows eating citrus. And I know about that because a lot of times you sell citrus to cattle feed companies.
So, yes, very interesting. And I've had a handful of people in that post. I put, hey, if you see me at the show, ask me about what's going on. Obviously, you know, most people that follow me or know Golden Star know we're a citrus grower, packer, shipper. Well, part of this is we highlight, you know, the full circle of life for citrus. So not only, you know, I'm marketing the fresh, usually that's what people see in our brands, Golden Star, Flavor Wave, etc. A lot of people don't get the light shed on the full circle of life, which is usually, you know, the coals.
Yep.
A piece is going bad, it doesn't make the fresh grade. Where do we go with that product? Not everything even goes to juice. So this is a third grade that we send out from our packing house to a grower partner of ours who raises cattle. So that's part of the input and part of the cattle feed is our citrus. And it's very cool because he works as a grower partner on the farming operations. We harvest, we pack, we market fruit for them. And then out of that third grade, we haul out or he'll come and pick up some of the citrus. So it's very cool. We're going to be rolling out more campaign and promotion, you know, of cross-marketing with him to shed some light on it and also shed light on the full line of the citrus supply chain. So, yeah, stay tuned. We've got more video deployments coming out with this partner and sharing more of what he's doing with his citrus cattle company.
From California.
From California.
So citrus from California.
Citrus cattle from California.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize like the grades within citrus. Even today, I mean, they had a lime grading seminar, lime grade standards and training. I mean, there's things in here. I mean, Mike, I mean, we can see it. You know, if we zoom in on the camera. But I mean, obviously, different grades, different varieties. And again, I mean, cattle is a juice variety, right, or a coal variety, right, that goes. But that's something still in the supply chain of citrus, right? So it's all part of the citrus supply chain. If not, if a juice plant can't take it, if the cattle can't take it, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
You're dumping it, right?
So
it's good. So again, hopefully this milk tastes like creamsicles, right? And then hopefully the beef, for all you beef eaters, you know, a lot of times, what do? You do garnish of like lemons or citrus peel on your steak or things like that. Hey, I mean, they're incorporating the citrus inside of the cow already. It's kind of cool.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, marinade. There's a lot of citrus citrus infusion in marinades for beef and pork, etc. So this is kind of cool, and I can't wait to share more of this information with our grower partner of some of the benefits of the steers eating some of this citrus. So I don't know if the beef will have a citrusy, zesty flavor to it, but we'll let him tell everyone about it. Stay tuned.
Hopefully it will, everyone. So again, we're in Houston, Texas. You skipped last year. We're here the year before the last, but it was in Houston this year, Dallas the previous years, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be at the Continental Fresh booth with Albert Perez this year, booth 1105, and, you know, we always like to hang out with our partners, hang out with cool people, hang out with friends, and I think that's one of the fun things about this is, like, normally people have their booths, Mike, and they're like, oh, you know, here's my booth, my booth. I feel like now, like, our community, it's like, no, like, tell people you're going to be at our booth. Come hang out with us. Let's build the relationships together, right, the friendships together. And it was so funny because I was talking to a retailer last night, and I told him, you know, I am going to be at booth 1105, you know, Mike and I, boom, boom. He goes, oh, he goes, I got to go meet Albert.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that's where we're going to be. He goes, dude, he goes, I do business with them through somebody else. He goes, I got to meet Albert this time around. So, again, look for us. We're going to be on the showroom floor. Mike, if you want to talk about citrus from California, the things that he's doing, what Golden Star, Flavor Wave, and the brand's doing, the brand Citrus from California. We're going to be at some upcoming shows, I know, as well, from FPFC to West Coast Produce Expo. So here we go. We got shoes coming out. We got different things happening. Mike, appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, Pat.
Houston, Texas, everyone. I got my man Whit Wagner here. Now, Whit, we've known each other for a few years. I'm going to tell you what one thing that Whit did for me is it was about, 2021, maybe 20, yeah, or was it 2022, one of the years. Man, I was just getting done with the show, and you walked right up to me, and you were like, dude, you look like you need a snack.
Yes, I did.
And you brought me one of these, like, cheese, like
apples, caramel.
Yeah,
cheese.
the whole deal, yeah. Man. And man, I just remember I was like, dude, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted. And you were like, here, bro, here's a snack, here's the booth. And I remember that's like we met in person before, but we were just trying to keep catching up, and then finally kind of went over. And dude, it's been like a couple years now, man. We've talked about shoe ideas.
Absolutely.
We've talked about like just reinventing some of the, you know, old school mentalities in the industry. And then we even talk about things like jumping on helicopters and going and looking at fields. So it's, man, it's great to have you, dude. Like, I always, you know, tell people, they're like, you know, when you bring someone on the show, how do you bring them on? Like, do you vet their company? Do you vet who? I'm like, sometimes, man, it's just about a relationship.
That's the key, relationships. That's the key word. And relationships are what I'd love to talk about. I think that's a lost art in our business with emails and text. Picking up the phone and calling somebody has a lot of weight.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
that's a thing. It's a thing.
Every time I see a payphone, I show my kids.
Hey, payphones are great.
Right?
I mean, they're probably germophobics. Probably
not 100%. But I mean, I remember how I called my mom when I was 14 after school, bro.
Call and collect.
What are you talking about?
Message, like, and then hang up.
Yeah. Getting yelled at. Yeah, because they know exactly where you are. Yeah. Like, you know, if you got to the this is, you're like, click.
Yes.
You'd be like, Pat, click. Stop calling collect. It's a quarter. I was like, no, I'm saving that quarter because cookies at school were 35 cents. So
you get a doozy for that. I mean, that was a great time of life.
Oh, man. Houston, Texas is you, man. I got your Space City on. I got my Houston Dynamo jersey on. You know, one of the things I know you're passionate about is Texas.
Yes, sir.
I know you are. You're passionate about the produce industry as a whole. We talk about all the time about working together and just progressing the industry forward. Dude, this first quarter has gone by so fast.
It always does, but time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. So what are you looking forward to this year?
I look forward to developing even more products to bring to market, ready to eat, snacking, film seal, innovative items with chamoya and things like that. You'll see at the show.
I like it.
You know, I think snacking's always been an elephant in the room, and there's not a lot of companies that go after it. It's a lot of work to do it. But when you do it well, it's very fruitful.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Well, it is true because, I mean, one of the things, like my New Year's resolution every year is to try something new. And one of the things is I'm on the road a lot. So it's like, how do I just not bring a banana on the airplane with me or not just bring an orange, right? It's like, what are the other snacking elements? You know, my wife's incorporating more cheese and crackers, like more snackable, packable ones, right? The apples you get included in there. But it's hard because there's so many things that if you do leave out for 45 minutes, like I've noticed that, like cheese, for instance, you like cheese cold.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? Like if you leave your cheese and crackers as you're driving for 30 minutes and you forget to eat your cheese and crackers...
No one likes sweaty
cheese. No one likes sweaty cheese.
No one likes sweaty cheese. Nobody.
No one likes the stinky sweaty cheese. But the same thing with certain items, too, like produce items. So it's like when you go to grab something, you're like, ugh. So I've been trying to do more like veggie snack trays on the road.
Yep.
But it is hard because a lot of those veggie snack trays, what do they come with?
Ranch.
You can't keep ranch in the car, man.
No, but...
It doesn't work well.
But you got to revert back to your school days where you pack a little bit of the... Little blue ice.
True. I mean, yeah, true.
And you can keep that product cold all day.
True.
With those little technologies.
I do have the, it's funny, my buddy the other day, he goes, I didn't know you carry a purse. It was actually my lunchbox.
Get a tin one, a He-Man one or something.
An old He-Man, yeah, man, old school one.
Go for it.
Have my old thermos and everything,
Ghostbusters?
Too.
I mean,
you are right. I have like this old, like looks like a little old like lady's purse because it's my wife's old lunchbox. But I like refuse to bring lunchboxes sometimes. So she's like, I have this like tan looking lunchbox. It looks like
it's a merce. It's a merce. It's okay, but it has your food in it. So
it does.
And your food is your medicine.
So I got my medicine with me at all
times. That's a big focus.
I like that you said the innovation, man. One thing that, you know, we talk about a lot is, you know, how do you bring products to market? And when's the best time to talk to retailers about that? We talked to Fresh Time back in, I think it was like April of last year. And, you know, one of the questions we had for them was, you know, when should added value companies, right, processing, right, new club packs, when do you bring that to market? And Fresh Time, their answer was kind of cool, we thought, which was they were like, we don't mind those things in the fourth quarter because consumers during Christmas time are willing to buy stuff or buy new things for presents or for gift ideas, or they're going to a holiday dinner and they're like, oh, look at this new snack pack trays that have this, this, and this in it. What's your idea on that? Because you being the innovator behind it.
I definitely have a good insight on that.
That's what I was gonna ask.
So the best time to bring those type of products to market is back to school.
So back to school.
Yeah.
So August, August.
You wanna be ready to launch in August because that's where the value add really picks up. You got back to school, you got new children going to school, new parents with new ideas, right? And they're looking for options.
They're
looking for convenience and they're also looking for healthy options. So back to school is probably the number one target for us in our industry as far as making retail.
So Q3, snack. Q4.
Yep. If you're not working on it in Q1 or two, you're late.
You're lost.
So
you're lost. You're already behind.
Yep. And but back to school is the big push. Most of the success we've had in our products, that's when it happens. We look forward to school every year.
Okay.
Every
All right.
Year.
So again, schools, even if you're going into retail, best time is look at it in Q1, Q2 with the deployment around Q3 and then leading into Q4, which will then go into the school year in Q1 again and then starting the innovation.
Double kiss.
The innovation cycle over or new product launches over and over again. How many products, when you talk about innovation and then we're gonna jump, man. Over the last few years, I've seen some products. How many products have you brought to market on innovation for new products to the industry?
If I had to give it a number, it's probably a number around 20 to 25.
20 snackable items.
Snackable items.
Snackable
Film
items.
Seal, you know, some, we're playing with gas flush.
Grapes, apples, caramel, cheese.
Celery, carrots, broccoli, ranch. And one of the latest things I've been getting into is actually producing the dips in-house and providing avocado-based dips and salsas. And there's a lot on the docket coming up. I look forward to sharing those with you as this year goes on.
All right, stay tuned, everyone, and back to Viva Fresh 2024.
Thank you.
Coming in off the private plane, Shay the Farm Kid. Yeah, that's right. I had to let everybody know. Yeah, you don't fly with people like me. I mean, I've tried.
When I have to, I do. Right?
Because listen, I've told you many times I'm gonna come fly with you, and you're like, well, I don't know.
Are you
know,
brave enough?
That, right?
Right.
I think I am.
Okay, you'll be all right.
Do I have to do anything?
You can sleep in the back if you want.
No, I'm going to talk the whole time.
Yeah, he will. Okay.
I think like 2-3 cameras like pointing us. I even think if I fell asleep, that'd be funny too. Like
especially if I could do zero G's and you're floating in the airplane. Have you seen all those bloopers? If you haven't seen those, look up the bloopers of zero G's in the airplane. Yeah, people like to do that.
The videos that I see are the mountains of the snow, the crop circles you did that one time.
Crop circles.
I love seeing the crop updates from the air. Those are always good. Everyone, Shay does have his own plane. A lot of farmers actually do have their own planes. You don't have your own runway yet, do you?
Do not have. I know some farmers that have their own runways.
You do. You do.
No, I don't have.
There's a couple of citrus growers that we know that have a couple planes, and they've got airstrips right on the orange groves, like right on the farm.
I've seen that.
So they're able to leave the packing on us.
I just have to say, like it's painted.
It's literally right there.
It's like, but they have like the branding on their landing strip.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, that's must be nice.
I think I'm a few decades from.
Hugh, so what did it take you to get down here?
6 hours. 6 hours. Boise, Idaho, basically to here was 6 hours. One fuel stop in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So you guys just stop down, quick fuel up, and then right back in the air.
Like 30 minutes.
Really easy.
Yeah.
No stewardess bringing in a Coke, though, everyone.
No.
It's just
my Celsius.
You fly by yourself?
Angela came with me.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Do you always need to have someone with you when you're flying? Hmm. And you can fly by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. That's why I don't
even.
That's why I don't have a pilot's license. They wouldn't let me fly.
Right. If there's somebody with me and I like pass out or something, and then.
Yeah. At least someone can grab it.
Sure.
All right. Listen, I had to at least talk about that because I'm going to be in the plane one day. We're going to be talking produce. I think it'd be a great segment. It's always a great segment.
You keep saying you're going to come, so.
I know. The problem is it's your schedule. It's you, not me.
Oh, it's me. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I think I can say that at this point.
Okay.
It's you, not
it's me.
It is. I'll be real. There's so many things going on, man. One of the things I do like about when we have you on, we're in Houston. It's Viva Fresh. And it's not that I want to talk about Viva Fresh. I mean, obviously, we're here. That's why we're together. There's a lot of things going on in the industry. I mean, you've had this controversy over WIC. You've had controversy. 99 Cent Store just closed over 300 stores.
Yeah.
Supply chains are disrupted. You know, one of our guests that we've had on today went and saw some ports as well. And, you know, a lot of people are going and visiting the ports, too. One, it's not just that there's issues at the ports, but there's been ports congestions in the past. There's been port strikes. So a different level of thinking about the supply chain has come into effect just coming into Q2, though, right? I can't believe that, right?
Yeah,
Q2, it's going to be back to school before we know it. It's going to be here, but there's a lot of aspects of the supply chain that are completely always changing, right?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on some of this stuff, man? I mean, I've even seen receivables and there's all different aspects,
man. Yeah, I mean, when you look at the 99 cent closure and as sudden as it was, I mean, you got to think about what it means to all of us that are supplying those stores. What it might mean to the distributors that were stuck in the, holding the bag, if you will. I mean, certainly we've seen, like, one of the things that you and I talked about before we came on camera was the receivable side. I mean, it's incredible to see, you know, for us, I'll throw that out there, our average pay is usually like 42 days. We're pushing 48 days, you know,
wow.
So it's a week's worth of receivables out there. And it's really across the entire, I wouldn't say supply chain, but I would say across the entire customer base that we have. Like, it doesn't matter whether they're big or small, everyone's kind of slowing down on how quickly they pay. And then we've had, and it's worth bringing out, Bothwell, and I don't know whether I want to drop the name in there, but a transportation company.
Dropped it.
filed for bankruptcy, has or if they have or have not filed yet, are not paying their carriers, right? So make sure that your BOLs have the right information.
Oh, the consignee versus the shipper, yeah, yes. Because that's how they bill or how you get paid.
So we changed our software, didn't get the information passed over to our new BOLs, right? So there's some issue there for us in that we paid the broker, but the broker didn't pay the carrier. And ultimately, the carrier gets to collect, no matter what that carrier gets to collect. So it doesn't matter whether you as a shipper paid your bill, that carrier is going to get paid again if Bothwell or whomever it is that's in between doesn't pay their bills.
That's crazy.
And it's such a simple thing to have on your BOLs that says the right thing to protect you as the shipper.
Yes.
But it's one of those things that you can miss. So if you don't have it, look it up. If I knew the terminology, I would tell you right now.
Yeah, we'll talk to an importer about that later, too, because I have a couple questions that would be fun for them, because it's so true. You know, how you bring in product even from the United States, who's the actual consignee? Who's the actual shipper? And a lot of times in produce, we have egos. Yeah, no, we don't. Uh-uh. Stop. No, we don't. But no, there are. I mean, it is what it is, right? But there's times that you want to be looked at as I'm the shipper, not a broker, so you'll want to put your name as the shipper. You're going to open yourself up for liability is what you're going to do. Right. And you're going to open yourself up to, ready, not be paid legally. Because they're not legally responsible if you don't put your name on the paperwork in the right way and follow the right process. Yeah, receivables is a big one. And again, that's why we always talk about, you know, we're in Houston. You know, I went and saw Brent Ehrenwert. And that's another thing, you know, Brent talked about, too, was receivables. But it's funny, you're not seeing those claims or you're not seeing it being reported anywhere. And that's why I think we have, a really faulty credit system. And no offense to Blue Book or anybody, but even Dun & Bradstreet, if you go to theirs, it's like, if you look up my company, right, like my little Pack Snacks LLC, oh, I've done a Bradstreet, it's great because I only have like two clients that have ever reported on me there, right? So it's like, I got a triple XB on there, but my company's, is it really a triple XB if I was to have 50, 60, 70 suppliers? If I was to have, right, if it got to that
cross section of information.
That's what I'm saying. So it's hard because why do we always want to report when things are triple XB, triple XA? But we never want to just let people know, like, hey, yeah, it's 42 days out. Oh, you can't let people know that Kroger or that, you know, Marcon, or I'm just making them names, right, like, that are paying this. But in all reality, you do want to know that because then it helps the industry as a whole go, okay, we understand. Maybe we need to go pull our line of credit more. Maybe we need to hit this company up more, strategy.
Yeah. I think the fraud side of the whole thing is still rampant as well. I've had lots of people because of the video that I did earlier in the year about, you know, being defrauded and people pretending to be someone else. I know I just completely diverted our
conversation.
It's
true, though.
But that's another piece of this thing as
well. Again, that also goes back to the paperwork, where your name was, how you're vetting people out, right? And that goes back to even, again, the PACAs of the world, how you really do things, what you put on your invoices, how you talk to people, right? So, no, man, it's crazy. And again, what affects the supply chain ultimately goes back to the grower, right?
And, we're at the bottom of the pile.
And that's what's so crazy. Yeah. It's like, my dad always told me, you know, when I was growing up, I had all these ideas of what I wanted to do when I got older, right? And we had told him, I always wanted to do something within business. Oh, yeah, I'm a princess, no matter what. But he told me, get into food or water.
Because you always have to have food and water.
Right, and that's the thing, because you can negotiate other things, but you can't negotiate food or water, right? So, but if you look at that, though, you need food and water, but it's the first person to go back to that you want to take the money from. The person that grows the food and delivers the water that you want to go and cut off of the bill, and, you know what I mean? But everybody else gets paid in the supply chain, but it goes back to the grower. And when you talk about fraud, fraud could even mean, you know, those guys that order loads from you get a USDA at 2:30 in the morning and then divert it in emails, talking to you in emails at 2:30 to 7 a.m. saying, hey, we're sending it here. Hey, you haven't responded. And it's like, next thing you know, your load ends up in the Atlanta market with a pack of claim, and then, you know, they're going, well, is it worth it because they did everything right? No, that's fraud. They know how to work the system to not pay the grower what it's actually worth. I've seen it all the time, man.
I think the weakness is within the really below among growers and shippers themselves, though. Like, we allow that
it
to
is.
Happen. We're really, really like, not everyone's passive, but the culture, especially if we're talking about farmers. Farmers deal with tons of variables all the time. So they're used to planting a field of onions and a hailstorm coming along or a windstorm coming along or some disease coming in or a pest, and they lose the entire crop. So they're not passive, they're proactive to a degree, but then once it's out of their hands, right? Or events come along that are out of their hands, yep. And they're very accepting. And so as we put things on the market, as we deliver to customers, we tend to have, as an industry, the same mentality. There's certainly people that have a different mentality when it comes to that, but a lot are just really passive. Like, okay, that's well, true. There's nothing I can do. I'll just accept it.
Or it's a headache. I mean, I've talked to growers, and they're like, it's not worth the headache. I've got mm-hmm. plenty of other things to do. And sometimes it's, I can't say it's easier, but you got to move packages. We got to pack the crop.
Right.
So it's like, am I willing to go fight for 7 to 8 to 12 months to get the money?
Right.
Or do I sell?
Wash your hands and be done.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy as hard as it is. But I think with the ever-growing change in the supply chain and how we've talked, it's like we got to keep growing. This is what shows are about. I always tell everybody, when you come to a show, yes, it's about networking. Yes, it's about having fun. But it's about education. It's about growing your supply chain, your relationships. So, again, then you know the people you're doing business with.
Absolutely.
So, Shay, appreciate you coming by, man. Yes, I'm going to come fly with you.
Okay.
Fly with me.
We'll post the video when it happens.
Oh, man.
I don't know, guys. We'll see.
It'll be like a time lapse of like 2 minutes, but it'll be like an hour, me. Straight just knocked out. Just straight knocked out. Like, the oxygen's going to go in my nose. You're going to see me just, you sure there's not more than oxygen in here? All right, man. Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you out there.
Thanks.
When you think of pineapples, now to me, I've been to Costa Rica, I have been down to Central America, and I've been able to reach down and pick a pineapple off of the plant. Now, everyone, when I first was in Fresno, I was on KMPH, and the host of the show said, you know, he never knew where pineapples came from, and he was looking up in the air in a tree saying, where are these pineapples? How do I pick them? Everyone, we have Wendy O'Brien of Cappy Growers here to talk about pineapples today.
Right.
But it's true,
right?
You
should have told him to look down.
Well, it's true. So the gentleman said, he goes, man, I went to Tahiti on my honeymoon, and they took us to pineapple groves, and I thought we were going to see trees. So obviously, there is a big misconception with pineapples, because if you ask a normal, everyday person on the street where pineapples come from, they'll probably give you an answer that is so far out of the wrong baseball or football or dance.
Exactly. I know. That's what I got in the airport the whole way here today.
Yeah.
So where's your farm in Hawaii? Well, there aren't farms in Hawaii anymore. Those are for tourists, for you guys. Let's go to Costa Rica. Let's go a little further south, right?
Honduras, Panama.
Ecuador, all those places.
And it's interesting because we all, you know, don't know what we don't know, right? But it is. It's like, where does your food come from? You know, Cappy growers, pineapples, you know, based in country in Costa Rica, right? Yeah. There's a grower based in Costa Rica. We've been talking about this. You know, my company, before the company I have now, were pineapple growers out of Costa Rica.
Right.
A lot of the growers sold out to Dole or Del Monte or a lot of the big players down there.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's still room
for us.
Right, I was going to say.
We're the number two pineapple grower in Costa Rica, and people don't even know who we are. What you talking about?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Which is good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that's okay. But, you know, what I've seen, though, is a lot of control in the Costa Rican marketplace.
Yes.
So when I was importing, heavy control on pricing, heavy control on quality even.
Yep.
You go down there and you see it being packed, and then you see it here in the States, you're like, what happened to the same quality, right?
Exactly.
And the same thing with quantity, because the vessels.
That's right. Yep.
The vessel space, who they're contracted with.
How long it sits out at sea.
There's a lot
even
of stuff.
Weather, right? Affects all of our stuff.
There's a lot of factors to that. But I talked to you, I mean, we talked when you were first at Indie Fruit.
Yep.
And I told you this, I'm like, we got to get pineapples on the show some way. Somehow.
And we're excited to be here.
Now we're going to get them on the show.
I know, right?
We're going to start talking pineapples, hopefully. I've always wanted a pineapple sponsor. I keep telling Wendy this. And I went to Seed to Table.
Yes.
Down in...
Cool store, right?
Naples. And you had a huge...
Yes.
Huge pineapple display. Wouldn't it be something cool? They had an ice chest in front of the pineapples.
With their cut final.
Yep. Come on.
They do the fresh cut right there in the store.
The machine was right next to it.
Oh, was it working?
No.
Yeah. They've been having the coring machine issues for about 4 months.
But they're still cut pineapples, and
they did. Right behind the counter.
And I did tell you, about the pink pineapple. I know you guys don't do this, but we bought some of the pink pineapple chunks that were right there along with the Cappy Cappy. So, yeah, it's just, it's fun to see, like I said, when you go places and you get to see people's products in there. Like, I know I go to a lot of stores and see other brands that I don't know, but it's fun being able to meet someone that went from one brand to another.
Which is cool.
And then you see it in the store.
I know, it is fun, right?
Because then you get to support it.
It's my favorite thing to do, was to go look at stores and to say, okay, this is there, this is there. Let's see if I can move in now and get a little. I love seeing our purple. You're in the perfect color today.
Thank you.
The purple and our purple
you're
and gold.
Purple and gold, right?
It's purple and gold. So yeah.
I got the Houston Dynamo shirt on. It's true though. It's seeing other people's products, purchasing those, and when you see friends' products, you're always going to buy them.
It's even more fun.
I always. It is.
It is. It's more fun. It's
just like when your friends, if they're a published author, right, or if they work for a company, they're like, hey, there's this product. Go buy it. Go check it out. Whether it's a hydration pack, right? When you buy it, you feel good.
Exactly.
And,
I know.
And then, like I said, then it's like, all right, how do I get in here? What do I got to do?
What do I got to do now?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I know. And that's what we're trying to do at Cappy, right? I mean, the Cappy brand has only been around for 4 years, but our parent company has been co-packing for multinationals for 40. So
years.
People see our fruit, you just don't know it's our fruit. So that's what we're trying to do now, is to
get the brand out there.
Get the brand out there.
What's, maybe I just, I'm going to ask, but what's Cappy mean? What's you don't know? I don't know either. We're going to ask, so listen.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out more, because we have
I should know that, right?
No, I mean, listen. the other day, I was talking to Tara Murray of Fresh Innovations.
Yes.
And I'm like, what does Yo Quiero mean? And she was like.
Like me.
She's like, it means I want. And I was like, she's like, that's why we say it twice. Like, I want.
I
was like, oh my gosh. I'm like.
I know.
I had no idea.
Well, it's just like our golden pineapple.
Like, he's been
is
a sponsor
Aura
for over a year now, and she's like, you don't even know what my slogan means? Like, that's what the company name's called. And I was like,
I know, exactly. Well, it's like our golden pineapples are called Oros, because it means golden Spanish.
Okay. See, that's why I said there's got to be some language.
There is. I know there's a reason. I'm just having an off day.
Well, there's going to be an announcement coming soon with Cappy Cappy. Yep. We've got some stuff coming up, so hopefully by May 1st, we'll be able to tell you what's going to be happening. Hopefully we'll see some more pineapples.
Yes.
Have some more fun.
That's right.
Get into some more grocery stores. Yeah. I told you I went to a juice bar about a few months ago. Cappy Cappy pineapples right in the juice bar.
I'll get you a case for the office.
I might need some. So from retail to processing.
To processing, food service, all the way in between.
All the way in between.
We do everything from retail to fresh cut programs to restaurant programs. We try to cover the gamut. We don't want to leave anybody out.
So what are you looking forward to most for the rest of the year?
The growth continues. I think the biggest thing that I'm excited about, which was going to the port today, going to Jacinto, and we had our first Houston deliveries this week.
Oh, wow.
So opening up Texas in the Southwest is what I'm most excited about.
I did Houston for a few years.
So, yeah.
Houston, we have a problem. Houston needs more produce companies, though, too.
Yes, they do.
That's one thing. There's a few cold storages, but they need a lot more produce companies here that could handle fruit. I mean, geez, I mean, we know even on oranges, there's a limited of receivers here, especially with it being a port here. There should be more packaging facilities, right? More opportunities, you know, because the distribution can hit multiple spots. So I like that. So working with the ports, working with more distribution.
Yeah, that's the most exciting thing for us, is expanding. You know what I mean? The cool thing about us year over year is we doubled from 2023 already into 2024 of what we're bringing in to the U.S. and selling. So we more than doubled it year over year. And coming into Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, right? So that means my
orders.
Sales. I want bigger
she wants
orders.
Bigger sales.
Let's fill a vessel. Wouldn't that be nice if I
could
have an entire vessel from Costa Rica?
Why not?
You know?
We all got to have goals.
Exactly.
I mean, we're all one handshake away from the next deal.
That's right.
Everyone,
you never know. We're going to meet at Viva Fresh, right?
That's what I'm saying. Well, Viva Fresh 2024, Wendy O'Brien, Cappy Cappy, and we'll see you out there. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
Space City, Viva Fresh, and a lot of produce, but one thing we can talk about that's coming very soon is summer citrus from South Africa to Houston, more and more. Suhanra Conradi, welcome to the show again here in Houston at Viva Fresh.
Thank you so much, Patrick. It's always lovely to chat to you and talk about our plans for the future and the upcoming season. And when we last saw each other in Anaheim, it's great to catch up with you and share with the trade what's been up with summer citrus from South Africa.
And you think that, oh, it's the season's done, there's not much more to do, and the growers are on vacation. No, there's so much behind the scenes, especially the supply chain that has been put together from South Africa to the United States. I mean, actually around the globe, not just to the United States, right? There's so much behind the scenes. And between October and now, a lot of work has been put in.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think seasons, first of all, are a lot longer. It takes a lot more time to finalize a season. Obviously, South African citrus, not just into the U.S., from a production point of view, has really grown over the last few years. So seasons stretch more into October, some even November. And I remember when I started out in this job more than a decade ago, I remember from sort of like mid-November onwards, you were like planning your our summer holiday, because we counted season. It's not like that anymore. I mean, I only went on leave like just after, mid-December with still a to-do list when I went to my beach vacation. So it's just a lot more planning and effort, and especially with such a program where we really trying to stay true to our business model of managing supply and demand. To end the previous season in a very responsible manner, and we really play around with a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas of how to execute this program with excellence. It's all about matching up the available supply with the demand of the market. Well, then typically in South Africa, citrus growers take a bit of a break. So our Christmas and New Year's is like our summer holiday. People take 2 to 3 weeks
Makes sense.
Leave. And then when we come back, you still have the business nowadays is just such a nature that you still have a to-do list
right.
of the previous year that you have to finish. You work through that. And for me, typically, then I start to do with, finalizing really from the scratch our USDA contracts, our Department of Agriculture, which is super involved in this program, finalizing all of the what I call the backbone of the program. And then we start building, I like to call it a puzzle, because it's like building a puzzle. You change and you fix it, et cetera. And we build up typically towards our the third week of February, where we have our annual board meeting. And I think also with summer citrus with South Africa, you have to really understand that it's a group that work collaboratively. But in the end, it's still quite a few exporters. It's not one exporter shipping here. And we are trying to put everybody together and make sure that our infrastructure and our supply chain caters for the supply, and that we can really move fruit as fast as possible. So we really spend a lot of time on our spreadsheets. And yes, we know we work with a commodity with an ever-changing life cycle, but you need 100%. A spreadsheet to start with, which you are included in our weekly distribution, which yep. we update. And then typically we have sort of like a plan for the or initial plan for the season, towards the end of February. And then we start to, finalize our shipping contract tracks. Where we are now, we split our volume 50% between break bulk vessels, which is our dedicated vessels, into Philadelphia. So it's only our fruit on that vessels, only the group. And then really the highlight of the 2023 season, which was also the celebration of our 25th season, was the fact that we we're back, like I like to say, back on both sides of the Delaware River. So we are now doing 50% into containers. We're also shipping volume to Savannah. Arriving into Houston, Texas is unclaimed territory for us.
Yeah.
So that's what I really like about Viva Fresh in Houston is the fact that we are now able to add the supply chain element additional to the retailers, the demand of the market, et cetera, et cetera.
I was going to say, then you can manage the demand. We've been to Philly. I've been up to Philly. I've seen one of the
and
vessels
And you're going to go again this year.
Right.
Well, videos are so popular.
They,
and
well, I think it's because they
want to
see this.
You have an authentic way of selling our story. Very authentic.
I appreciate that. But I really look at it sometimes. It's the supply chain that sells it, too. Because a lot of people don't get to see.
I think our supply chain is such a huge selling point.
Yes.
You know, for retailers, you have, on a weekly basis, you have to have fresh supply, and that I say ETA in our business is like the password on your computer. When will the fruit arrive? That means in 2-3 days it will be at a retailer
store. And it needs to be correct, right? Not just it needs to be on point. So we're gonna visit Savannah this year. We're gonna
Definitely.
See the Savannah supply chain. And I think that's what's great about it is, you know, uncovering the supply chain helps people realize, one, where the food comes from or where their supply chain of food comes from. And then, two, it also gives an opportunity for people that don't understand it. I had people call me this year and was like, wow. I said, what? And they said, I saw your Philly videos. And I'm like, sorry. And he goes, no. He goes, I've never been to a port before. So being able to watch you go all the way to the ship, bring it back through Wonderful's facility, he goes, literally, I put it together. He goes, I've never been to a port. So it really was opening eyes to people that were sitting on their desks that import citrus or purchase citrus that don't get to leave as well. So it's an aspect of seeing this is what the supply chain that I'm purchasing in the industry that's going to this retail outlet is actually doing. So I think they do help. And they, let's be real, I mean, they're fun to do because you get to see the back scenes of the entire supply
chain. And it's very real time. It's not like we post them in 2-3 months.
No, we're there and posting as we're there.
As I say, we like to use it as our way of form of corporate communications, you know, updating the trade of what's going on, showing them real time. This is what South Africa looks like. This is what it looks like when it arrives at the port of Philadelphia. This is what it looks like on a retail shelf.
The exact supply chain in 24 hours from when it offloaded at the boat. And then we worked with your supplier to say, where are your product. We found the supply, and you can even check it by the dates on the back of the product, right? So we literally follow that supply chain, and I do. I think that's what's so great about it. So you were here at Viva. This is your big time. This is when you start planning for shelf space with retailers, with clients. No, they don't have the schedule yet, but this is the time. Viva
is the
time.
This is when we claim ourselves.
Yes.
Shelf space.
We talked about that last year.
It's not when we plan. This is when we claim.
It's claiming it.
We're taking it.
We're claiming the shelf space, which is good because, again, even myself, like I was telling you earlier, I we're not talking bad about other, I would say, locations of citrus, but you have to plan for this so each demographics of stores, right, in the States get their respective piece of fruit. Right? If West Coast and D3 in California is growing a grapefruit that's not going to pass the Rockies, that's what the West Coast retailers are going to get. If it's South Africa, that's what they want to get because the respective demographics, obviously, and you know this because it sells so well in the East Coast and in the South and now coming into Houston, the consumers want it. You know what I mean? They want it.
No, definitely. And I think also the citrus category has grown tremendously. And obviously, California local production has paved the way for imported citrus as well to grow because, I mean, the American consumer is now used to getting 12 months of the year citrus on their on the shelf.
Good
so, so you know, they're very spoiled, and it's all good fruit from all different countries of origin. I think that every country of origin has its place to fit in. For our side, South Africa, I would like to think that we operate very sophisticated. We put a lot of effort into the planning.
Yes.
And, you know, it's coming back to economics 101, managing supply and demand.
I agree.
You know where I also want to go? I want you to go this year because, and you know this because you're from Florida, in the summer, actually a lot of our citrus is being consumed in Florida that gets struck down from Philly or from Savannah. And, you know, the reality is that a citrus producing state is also a citrus consuming state.
Yes, 100%.
So I really want you to do that Florida bit to show to the trade, to consumers, and also actually for the people back in South Africa, that summer citrus from South Africa is consumed in Florida.
In a Florida.
I really want you to do one of those
Florida
videos as well.
I like that. That's a great idea.
People like that a lot.
I think it's a great idea.
And, it's
and you will, and really, it's you'll find it's so funny because, again, the same thing, the demographics of stores, they're going to have products in there, so you'll be able to find 8, 10, 12 stores, and even the different demographics of Tampa, that's going to be a good one.
I think and you're not going to even have to look for it because
most
of the stores in Florida in that area will, at some stage, especially July and August, September, carry South African
citrus. And we have all the stores that, I mean, from Trader Joe's, Sprouts, Aldi's, Publix, I mean,
Walmart's a big supporter of South African citrus as well. Costco.
Costco, huge. So, I mean, listen, claim the spot now. I mean, that's what you want to talk to people about is claiming your spot. Talk about South Africa citrus over the summer. I always say one cool thing that I did love is that when we visited Philly is every single box had that summer citrus from South Africa sticker on it. And I did like that because when you're walking through the cold storage, you automatically see it, and it was like, boom, right there. Just like when I saw the logo outside, it like instantly popped, like, boom, summer citrus from South Africa. So I do like that you put that little touch that the Packers did on the box because it stands out, and I love it.
It's all about selling a country with confidence.
I'm just saying, everyone. So, hey, Viva Fresh 2024. We'll see you out there on the floor, everyone. Thanks, Juhandra.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.